Happy Friday, guys. It's Friday once again, and you've tuned in to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, our podcast, weekly podcast check-in with you guys to let you know what's going on in the world of FDN, a few announcements, we'll answer some questions, and just let you know, hey, we're out here, and we come to you guys in some ways, maybe it's older-fashioned way versus maybe Facebook and the things we do now with technology, but over the phone, and this voice is good, right? This call is archived, so you can tune in later if you want to, but it's a live call. So it's on every Friday at 1 p.m. Central Time. And I'm your host, Brandon Millay, and I've got my buddy Brendan Vermeyer be on with me just in a second here to co-host and help answer some of your questions. If you want to call in and talk with us, ask a question, make a comment, whatever, just say hi. We'd love to hear from you guys. The number to call in is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. And just hit 1 on the keypad, and I'll know that you're on. That'll raise your hand. I'll know to bring you on when we have time to answer those, when we get to that portion of the show. But I do think you guys are listening live. I see a lot of you guys lined up on this beautiful Friday afternoon, at least in Kentucky it is. Humidity is coming out of the air. It's August 30th, I should say, 2019. So in Kentucky, anyhow, humidity sort of comes out of the air around this time. Temperatures drop 5 or 10 degrees, and it's just really beautiful for the next 2 or 3 months here. So hopefully it's good where you are at your wherever you're at in the stage of this process, however your connection is with FDN. If you are already graduated and you have a business, hopefully your business is booming and you're enjoying it, being successful, having fun doing the work of FDM. If you're a trainee and you're moving through the course, you know, shifts in weather and seasons, at least in the United States, I feel like there's things shift also in people's mindsets. So maybe it's the time to you know, kick it up a notch and move through and finish out the course, or really get going if you've had delayed things for some reason. Maybe now is the season to kick it up and move in. Or if you're listening to this show, I know we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are thinking about taking the course. Maybe you've taken the Mastering Metabolic Chaos course, which is coming up again here pretty soon. You've listened to our podcast here. You've listened to Reed on webinars, or I've had several people lately that said, yeah, heard about FDN about 5 years ago, 7 years ago, but just now is the time to take the course. So if you're thinking about taking the course, maybe this is the season and time for you to do that. You won't be disappointed. I know we can't talk about, I guess, return on investment or investment, but we don't have many dissatisfied folks. We'll say that. Everybody moves through and has a good time doing it. They learn what they want to learn, and then also how to implement that, because there's the key, right? So it's cool to learn things, and we're all kind of learn freaks, and we like to have academic discussions sometime and go deep down the rabbit hole and learn things. But at some point, if you want to do this as a profession, you've got to take it and make it practical and get results, and then, of course, charge for the help that you're giving humanity. So we try to balance that quite a bit, too. There's a lot of science in the course, but there's also a whole lot of practical, and literally practical is that you'll do exercises where you get to practice the work of FDN with a mock client, with a mentor playing a client for you. And this Friday call also, we try to be really practical here too. We cover some things that are basic, some philosophical things, but I like those questions that are, hey, here's my situation. What do I do? How do I think about this? And hopefully with this call, we're trying to teach you how to think instead of just what to think, or, you know, teaching you how to fish versus giving you a fish. So, oh, in this situation, he said to do this, but I'll try to give you some of the background on the ideas and what's going through my head and Brendan's too as you're come up against a case like that, if it's somebody that you're thinking about working with or might possibly have as a client, or if you're in the middle of things, you're trying to decide where to go, what to do. We'll hopefully be able to help you out with that on that side, because we like doing the work of FDN, and most days it doesn't feel like work. It's a whole lot of fun. Anyhow, all right, well, again, I'm your host, Brandon Millay, and Brendan Dean Vermeyer is on with me as well. Brendan, buddy, how's it going?
Good, man. Good, man. The 2 weeks in a row, it's I love these calls with you, man.
Yes, indeed. It's good to have you on. Like to get the different perspective, or, well, similar perspective, but different takes on one question. A lot of angles to each question that we get into, so it's good to have you connected here today. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, let me read off a few graduates because I've got a lot to read off,
yeah.
which is cool. And then maybe we'll get
cool.
a little bit of update here, AFTNP-wise. But, yeah, I want to read these names off here. So we have 6 graduates this week. So, you know,
wow.
we average, you know, maybe 4 or 5. But so we're overachieving here this week, and we've got 6 to
awesome.
Celebrate here today. And proud of these ladies. Great job during the course, really all of them. Great verbal finals, and all of them very big plans to build what they already have or add FDN to it. So I'm really thrilled to get to congratulate these 6 ladies today. So I've got Jennifer Swank, and she's from California. Kimberly Robinson, she's from California as well. Actually, I think it's Alabama. Yeah. Janine Tunman, she's from New Jersey. And then Kate Sandot, she's from the UK. Carrie Brumfield, she's from Texas. And then Ann Brendel, and she's from Georgia. Guys, congratulations. Good job. We'll give you a round of applause. Good stuff. Good job, guys. Terrific. All right. Well, hey, AFTNP, what's going on there? I know we've got some cool stuff coming up there. I wanted to let everybody know about that if we can.
Yeah, we've got, man, there's always so much going on. We had a just quick recap of the past week. We did Detective Hour on Wednesday, which I plan on posting a post in the Facebook group, but I do want to get your guys' feedback on if you want us to keep Detective Hour. That's something we've been trying to feel out for a little while, and I haven't really gotten a lot of feedback. We're not really getting a lot of attendance or interest, it seems, or case submissions. So I actually have personally done the past 2 Detective Hours last month and this month. So I presented the initial testing of a really big, complex case last month, and then this month was like part 2 of that same case. I think it was a really educational, I mean, maybe I'm biased, I don't know. I thought it was very educational. Webinar, you know, it was a case with Lyme, mold, Hashimoto's, you know, parasites, you know, all the things, right? So definitely kind of trying to show you guys how to navigate some of those more complex, nasty things. So anytime you get before and after Lyme results and the Lyme is gone, that's always exciting because that's a big deal. That even puzzles a lot of, you know, medical doctors and stuff. But so anyways, if you didn't watch that live, which not very many people did, like 10 people tuned in, that's going to be archived if it isn't already, so check that out. Next week, I think we have Dr. Tom O'Brien coming on for, I think it's a pro series, so that'll, you know, be open to the whole community. And it's, you know, the dangers of a gluten-free diet, which he's done a presentation of that title with us before, but I bet, you know, that's what, you know, we do in this field is we're always looking for more information to have new material to advance, you know, these different areas of focus. So I bet you can have a lot of great information, or maybe you have never heard him talk about this stuff before, but either way, be sure to tune in for that. We've got, this is kind of a, just sort of a special, you know, kind of announcement. We've got Dr. Jill Carnahan coming on for a webinar later in September, but, you know, she's just kind of a big deal in the industry, and so that'll be kind of fun, and it's kind of a quirky story how that came to be. Basically, I just walked up to her at a conference. I was like, hi, Jill, have you ever heard of FDN? Hi, I'm Brennan. Can I take your picture? You know, like, you know, being a spaz, but it worked, so here we are. What else with AFDNP specifically? I mean, that's kind of the gist of it with AFDNP. I just want to make sure everybody knows that we're sending out the weekly AFDNP newsletter, and every single week it goes out like Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and we also do the AFDNP Facebook Live every Wednesday afternoon because we're really trying to do everything we can on our end to communicate with you guys, get feedback, and know how we can better serve you. And like this week, there was like a little bit of a thing where a few people were getting a little bit upset about we did away with the Natural Medicine Database, But we didn't do that overnight or brashly. We made the decision based on feedback, and it seemed like nobody was using it. We asked the group for feedback. So my point being, I think, please take advantage of the, you know, communication goes both ways. We can send out newsletters. We can, you know, do all the Facebook Lives and broadcasting and posting, but then we finally make a move and people got upset about it. So it's like, well, communicate with us. We're asking you for feedback. So, you know, once I saw that, it's like, okay, great. We're going to immediately look into either bringing that natural medicine database back or find an alternative. So just know, like, we're not here to take things away from you. We're here to give you things, but we need you to communicate with us. And I'd love for you to take the time to fill out the survey. Thank you to all those who have already done that. So that's kind of it for AFD&P, but what about this conference there, homie Brandon?
Well, it's coming up fast, isn't it? Real fast.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, FTN conference. I was just talking to a couple people that on, I think on some of these verbal finders here were either didn't know about it or was uncertain about if they wanted to come make the trip and to do that. But I think it's pretty convincing when you think about what we're going to be having going on. So that's going to be coming up November 1st through the 3rd in San Diego. So it's our second conference. You guys don't know that already. Last year was our 10-year anniversary for FDN and sort of, you know, unofficially they're our first conference, and then we decided to do an annual thing. So it is coming up really quickly. Amazing lineup of speakers. So we've got speakers you're going to hear from, connect with your colleagues, fellow FDN graduates. Going to be lots of opportunities to learn, to connect with people, to have a good time, pretty much everything you really want to do within a weekend like that. Have some fun, learn some things, talk to some people, have a lot of access to the speakers. You know, definitely going to have you where you can ask some questions, you can get a little bit more in depth there. So we'll be doing our thing, doing ourselves in a beautiful location this year, San Diego again, but a different spot than last time at the Hard Rock Hotel there in the downtown Gaslamp district there of San Diego. Really awesome hotspot, lots of fun things going on, so lots of options for entertainment there as well. But, boy, it's going to be good. I can't wait, looking forward to it, and make plans to attend. There's always promotions going on. Jen's always got something going to encourage you there, to help you with the whole process there. Maybe you can take advantage of promotions as we have them, and you guys just got to come. It's something awesome about coming together as a group live like that, in the same building, in the same place. It's just the energy is pretty incredible. I was pretty blown away last year. I think Brent and I both were kind of just, we roomed together last year. I think we came back in each night kind of reeling from just everything that we were feeling and got to experience there last year.
Yeah, it was amazing. I've been looking forward to it all year. I literally think about it every single day. Can't wait to see you all there.
Yep, going to be good. So check it out, ftnconference.com is the official website there, and then check Facebook. We always have some kind of promotion going on there. I think there's some bring a friend things, and there's just always something cool there. So check that out. Make plans to come. It'll be a boost. It'll be a boost for whatever you need. I think events like that, when you come together, I think most of us come with some sort of need, and usually those needs get fulfilled. You know, there's something, is it a personal thing, a business thing? Is it just something deep down inside? What is it? And you'll be met there with something powerful, I do think. So it's worth the commitment and the expense and time to do that. You'll come away with much more. It's that whole cost versus worth or cost versus value. So, you know, what's the conference cost? Well, that's not exactly the right question. That's part of it. But the other question to follow up with, well, what is it worth? So, and that'll always be much more than the cost will be. All right. I use that with talk to people about that concept of bringing them on as a client. You know, yeah, there's a cost associated with what we do, but what's the value there? What's the worth? Or what could it cost you if you don't address some of these things? Those are pretty direct statements, but you get to get people to think about things. You really do. And I think I get more direct like that as time goes on, because I see too many people that say no, that put it off, and things don't go well for them, and I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel not responsible, but there's something that bothers me about that. So I'd rather be a little gutsy and put it out there and challenge a person a little bit than hold back.
You know, yeah, I love that you said that. And, you and I are both generally soft-spoken, pretty genuine dudes, or at least you are. You're the most genuine dude I've ever met in my life. But you're so right. Like, you've got to be pretty direct. And you can be direct without being blunt. You can be direct while still being genuine. And if I could give all of our FDN practitioners a little bit of advice, it's like, yeah, be confident in your message, lead with love, be genuine, but also be direct, because otherwise it's just setting you and the client up for kind of a rough road. So
Exactly. I mean, we could just boy talk about that almost the whole call here, because I think
yeah.
I'm always trying to. Well, I tell you one thing that's nice with being a mentor. One benefit to this, I think, is getting to hear a lot of people talk about FDN on a regular basis. Weekly we get to hear these things, or just being around this community, you hear people talk about a lot of things. So it's sort of in your head quite a bit. So it does get in there. But then I also think about the way I'm phrasing things, the way I'm talking. I get a lot of practice, talking about the concepts of FDN, especially with our onboarding call, where you get to practice sort of that process of bringing somebody on as a client. And I get to hear a lot of people talk and do their thing. And some of them are, they're a little green, and so it's new to them. But we have a good outline to help you out there. And other people are a little more seasoned. They've been doing this for a while, so you pick up different things and phrases and ways to look at things. So I think we should always be constantly honing our message, improving the way we communicate, the concepts, maybe the analogies, the illustrations that we use, so people can understand it. That's something I've just been trying to focus more and more on this year, is that, because this whole industry and the desire for what we do is growing in leaps and bounds. I think it's absolutely just tremendous. I don't have, excuse me, statistics on that. I'm not sure where you even get them, but for me, just what I've seen with my own practice, talking with other practitioners, the amount of successful practitioners we have out there doing this, there's a huge need for what we do. And I can't underscore that anymore, because I feel like sometimes we think that, well, there's only a few select people that would actually do this, that would, invest and are ready to do it and the timing's right. But I don't think that's the case. I think people just don't know that we exist. That's, I think, still our biggest issue there, is getting out there and letting people know that what we have to offer and what we can do. So that's everybody's job. That's all of us collectively. That's not just Reed, Brendan, you with AFTNP, and you traveling and getting out there too, or us doing this podcast and anybody can listen to. It's all of us. It's collectively. We're helping change that consciousness. It's a big phrase, right? We hear a lot there. But yeah, it's like there's a shift. So when you talk to somebody about what you do, you hit on some of those key points they've already been starting to hear that make sense to them. Oh, there's an instant connection. It's like, oh, cool, this is somebody that can do that. This is what I've been learning about. And if the timing's right, hey, they come on, you help them, and you help change your life. So keep speaking out there, like you said, Brendan. Just keep speaking, being genuine and truthful, and people will latch on to that. So there's plenty of people there that are ready to work with us and want you to, as their practitioner, and need us. There's lots of areas. If you have an area in life where you feel like you're just not there, always look into hiring a professional, whatever that might be. Maybe your relationships, or your marriage, or your financial situation, how you budget, your financial plan, like I said, your health plan, what we do. Always look into, consider the options or the possibility of hiring a professional that is in this, living, breathing, eating this every single day, right? I want somebody like that, So if I'm, looking at maybe a financial planner or doing something different with finances, I want somebody that is just lives, eats, and breathes it, that nerds out on this stuff all the time, that they have, that they're polished, they're smooth, they just have the analogies, they have some tools they can use to quickly assess what's going on and gives you in that right direction. That's who I want. That's what I feel like as FTM practitioners we are. That's what we do. We're crazy about this stuff. It's what we focus on, all the time. That's how we operate. So point is, if there's an area there that you need to focus on, professionals are good for that. It's, again, the cost versus the worth side of things. What's it really worth? It can be worth a whole lot. Yeah. So I'm not sure where we were on that, but that's a good
I
train of
love
thought,
it.
a good start
Yeah,
to the show.
no, it was good start indeed.
Yeah, just things, just things you think about doing this work. So never know where we're going to go with this call. It might be more sales, might be more mindset things, might be more, you know, down to, okay, supplementation, might be lab work. It's all part of FDM. It's all part of what we do. You've got to think about all these aspects here. And I will say one more thing here before we go into a couple things for questions and then just a reminder about one other thing. But, well, I'll start with that first. So this is, you know, Labor Day weekend. So if you're thinking about, if you have clients out there, you know, labs are not open usually on Labor Day. And a lot of times, you know, the different carriers, you know, FedEx, UPS, different ones, they aren't running on Monday. So always be aware of that and make sure to reach out to your clients, anybody that you know that has labs out there that have not tested. Make sure they don't think, oh, cool, I'm off on Monday, I can take my labs. Well, probably you can't, because viability of the sample and the timing of things, you may not want to take it on Monday because you can't ship it maybe the same day or the next day. So just be careful on timing. Whenever I see holidays come up or I see a reminder pop up from the lab or something, I'll go and I'm going to check my list of clients and see, because everybody's in different phases of that process, the FDM process. So if they're in the, okay, I'm waiting on labs from that person, I'm going to make sure I reach out to that person just in case to say, hey, you know, if you're going to try to take this test still, don't do it on this day or use this day instead. That'll save your client a lot of grief, you a lot of grief, and I think that's partially a responsibility. I think you want that testing sampling process to go as easily and painless as possible. And so take some of that on you to remind your client, people don't always think about all those things. A lot of logistics involved in running 5 lab tests. If you've done that before, if you'd ran 2, a lot of logistics and timing and things you have to think about. So you be the person there that leads, thinks about all the different angles as much as possible, and gives your client the best chance to get really good results. So hopefully that helps somebody out there as far as the timing of things. Keep that in mind too. And then one thing I want to go back to also is just AFTMP. Just briefly, what it is, what we're trying to accomplish with AFTMP. You know, Brendan's always on here very often giving update on that. I still talk to people that don't know what AFTMP is. So maybe I'll just give a couple words on that just to put it out there again for people that don't know about that. But AFTMP is the Association of FDM Professionals. And the idea behind this is not just, hey, we just want you to sign up for something and pay a quarterly fee to say that you're an AFDMP member. But this was birthed out of the surveys that we do for the course. And we always survey people and say, hey, what can we do better? What would you like to see more of? What can help you be more successful? What do you need? And you hear Brendan talk about that quite a bit. You know, he's asking here for a two-way street. You know, we're trying to provide what you guys need, and we need your feedback for that. It's very much, you know, member-driven, I guess. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here. Brendan, correct me if I'm wrong, but member-driven, what you guys need, because we want to take you from that, okay, awesome, you made it through the course, you graduated, you know how to do the work of FDN. Now, where do I take it from there? I need a little help in the business side, on the marketing side, and some extra training on this. I'd feel good about this. I want to be part of a community. I need questions answered. I want to be part of a referral program. I want to have the benefit of group buying power, all the different things that you have with the association. That's what it's for. It's for the benefit to take you guys to the next level, because we don't want just graduates. That's awesome, and we celebrate those. It's a cool thing. We want something beyond that. We want people that, if you want to do this work, that you're able to do it, you have all the tools that you need, the support that you need, and that's an individual basis, the level of support that you need. You may just need the Friday call, and that's it. It's like, oh, I've got to have my Friday call every week, and you're good, but maybe you need more than that. Well, that's what AFCMP is about. It's providing that so you're successful. That expands the mission of FDN, what we're doing, helps a whole lot of people in the process, and that's what it's about. So that's the big overarching thing there. That's why we take time to give a little update most weeks and say, hey, here's what's going on here, because it is, you know, fast becoming a huge part, really, of what FDN is. It's a huge part because it is the graduate community and the postgraduate support that's there. It's a big part of that. When you finish your verbal final, I talk about postgraduate support through the medical director program and the consults there, but also AFTMP, huge parts of, hey, okay, where do I go from here? I'm struggling with this. I need some support here. That's what it's for. So make sure everybody knows that, where that came from. And that was Reed's thing to say, hey, let's do something like this in this format. And, well, I think it works really well. So there you go. Public service announcement about
awesome.
AFTMP.
No, I appreciate
all
that.
Right.
It was perfect.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, it's a cool thing. You're doing awesome at the helm, and we'll keep it up.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right. Well, hey, we better jump into some questions, right? We've got about a half an hour here for questions, and it's just fine. Sometimes we have longer for questions. Sometimes we cover 10 or 12. Other times we cover 2, and that's just okay. We hear good feedback from the show. So, again, if you want to call in here and ask a question, 347-637-1378 extension, or just hit number 1 there on your phone, and you'll be on there if you guys are on. Well, this is a busy – wow. Boy, I'm scrolling down here through the live callers right now, and boy, that switchboard is lit up. How cool, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Cool.
Love it. All right. Let's look at some questions here. So let me start with one. Okay, I'll start with one here. We'll start off this one here. So this is more on the science technical side. So it is true that it's impossible to live without cortisol, and we would die if we didn't have any cortisol left. How about those people who get a flat line on the BioHealth 205? All right, so cortisol, one of the big hormones that you start to learn about in the FTN course, one of the first things we start off with, because other than mindset and principles with the course, you're going to be looking at the 205, right? So and one of the first things that you're looking at with the 205 test is cortisol, right? So we're looking at salivary cortisol, so we're looking at the total output of cortisol, and also because you take 4 samples, you're looking at the rhythm of cortisol. So where those 4 points fall, because those 4 points throughout the day when you take your cortisol, any deviation from the typical pattern gives you some insight into that person. So, you know, when you do your results and recommendation session, I spend about 20 minutes of that call getting deep into cortisol, which you can pull out of, you know, 4 saliva samples. Pretty amazing there, what you can glean from that. So cortisol is super important there. And just like with anything else in the body, I'll say this as an overarching statement, I feel it's probably true in just about everything there, is that anything we can measure in the body, there's generally going to be an ideal range. There's going to be a too high or a too low. So we're looking at homeostasis at balance here. So when we talk about cortisol being necessary for life, we would die if we didn't have it. That's right, you would. Right, you have to have that. If you don't have the ability to produce cortisol, you're going to have injections and have cortisol to maintain life. So what about people that have a flat line on the 205 there? Well, that's not very good either. And so I guess I will qualify flat line there if that's probably just low cortisol, right? So maybe it's sub 10 as a total output of cortisol. That would be very low. You always have to factor in when you're looking at any number on a lab test is whose test results are these. So that's another big principle, right? Who is this person? And first of all, any kind of outside factors. We ask lots of questions about a person, their history, their health history, current symptoms, past symptoms, everything that they're put in their body from food to beverages to supplementation to prescriptions, over-the-counter medication. You're trying to get a feel, first of all, of who this person is. So you take who this person is as far as what you can glean from them through paperwork and intake forms and also through conversation, and then you look at the numbers on the lab. I think that's always the best order to go in. You know, who is this person? It's really fun to go right to the numbers first and start to gauge what's going on. But I try to refrain from that and go to, okay, who is this person? Because I want to have the main complaints in there first to start to clinically correlate. So if I'm looking at these lab results, that's cool. But if I can think about this clinical correlation I'm going to be doing during that R&R, that's even better. That's even actually more fun. So hold up on the numbers, go to find what the person is, and then look at what we're looking at as far as the numbers. And that makes this cool marriage together of information. And then you get a feel for clinical correlation, and also you have that proper interpretation. So how about people who get a flat line on the BioHealth 205? All right, so you're going to look for clinical correlation first. That's the first thing. So it's not like, oh, look at you. You must have some disease, or you must have something really bad going on. You must be on death's doorstep. No, we got to look at the person overall, right? So look at the person, look at the correlation, clinical correlation. Look at the other numbers you have and other information you have. So the other labs you have for that person, you take that information also, and that factors into it as well. So it's the person intake forms. You take all those labs together, and then you can look at that really low cortisol level, for example, and say, okay, how does this fit into this whole thing? And sometimes it could be something where, boy, yeah, that doesn't look very good. That is a major opportunity there to support that. But also at the same time, well, why is that low? What could be going on there that has it being that low? So you start to ask these questions that might you might be asking questions about them during the R&R, trying to get a little more feel for what's going on. So that's some things I think about with that. So it's not just automatically, oh, it's low, therefore you think this about every person. It's bigger than that, and you'll get trained to think that way automatically. And then you put it within context. Instead of a knee-jerk reaction, oh, whatever's going on, that's terrible, look at it in context. And then, Brendan, I don't know, and then maybe talk about this a little bit. So, you know, we'd run the 205 there from BioHealth, and we teach that within the course. But also, you know, the Dutch test is pretty popular as well. And it it takes cortisol and shows you a little more about cortisol. If you saw, you know, like a low cortisol in a Dutch test there, what would your reaction be? Would you be looking elsewhere on that lab? What would you be thinking on that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends, you know, how low the cortisol is. You know, so as you already said, we're really trying to clinically correlate and obviously, you know, look at their medical history of if they've had any surgeries or medications or, you know, all the different factors that can really be impairing cortisol pathways and production, metabolism, and all those things. But yeah, the Dutch test is pretty comprehensive with how it looks at cortisol, because it's looking at free cortisol and then also all these different metabolites of cortisol and cortisone, because we're trying to figure out, you know, like how much free cortisol is there, how well is the cortisol actually being broken down and metabolized, how much of it is being deactivated or reactivated cortisone, cortisol, kind of inner conversion going on, which can be related to a lot of factors. But if cortisol is like super low and more so like flat lines, you know, that's where, you know, the possibility of like Addison's disease comes in, and, you know, they would need to go get checked out by an endocrinologist to look into that a little bit, or, you know, is there some kind of pituitary gland tumor or something, benign or not? You know, there's possibilities there. You'd be amazed at how common benign pituitary tumors are, you know, non-cancerous, but nonetheless tumors that, you know, do affect hormonal signaling and whatnot. So if it's super duper low in flat lines, I know, what is it, if it's like less than 5 or something on the 205, the Dutch test, I'm trying to remember the numerical value, but if it's like flatline below the range, that's where I'm kind of getting a little suspicious about Addison's, versus if they still have a semi-normal looking curvature, but it's just really low, that's more just kind of quote unquote, you know, adrenal exhaustion. But then you can also look at the metabolites, by the way, you know, because even if the free, and that's actually something I should add, is that's where the Dutch has a little bit of a extra insight, because you could have super low, you know, free cortisol that might even look kind of alarming from like an Addison's perspective. However, we'll check the metabolized cortisol, check the cortisone, because those might be overflowing, in which case it's really just the cortisol is being deactivated or metabolized.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was sort of thinking. So so even if you didn't have a Dutch panel, that's one I think about also when I see a 205 is very low. I think about that possibility. And if that is the case, then it's really just going deeper and figuring out why that's happening. What are the reasons why that cortisol is being deactivated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Which, you know, a lot of factors to look into that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll cover most of those with the basics of FTM, right? So,
mm-hmm. Right.
The pain or the blood sugar dysregulation and inflammation and infection and all the things that we detoxification issues that we look at. So I guess the point here we're making here is that it's not just a knee-jerk reaction, looking at just a number in isolation or just a number compared to, oh, you know, Reed said once it gets this low, you automatically do this. Now, most of this for sure, yes, you need to be smart when it comes to your scope of practice and what you should do, what's best for that person. If you ever feel like that person needs medical attention, well, first of all, you know, you covered that with them in the beginning, you know, they have the freedom to take these lab results to their doctor and have them take a look mm-hmm. at them and get the doctor's opinion on those things. And you should always tell your mm-hmm. clients to, you know, to do that. Run them by your doctor, mm-hmm. you know, make sure there's yeah. nothing that the doctor might see that's serious, that they might want to address, that it's a time-sensitive thing. You should do that. Or you as a practitioner, if they don't want to do that, if you see signs where you see a very, very low cortisol and you see a whole lot of symptoms with that person, you might say, you know what, John, I think you need to go just get checked out by a doctor just to make sure mm-hmm. there's nothing more serious going on. You know, take this lab work, tell them how you're feeling, let them go through that process. That's not just covering your butt as a practitioner. That's the best thing for that person. And that's mm-hmm. what it's about, right, is the best for that person. We have their best interest in mind. So send them that mm-hmm. direction. You know, it may be something that needs medical attention, and that's fine. We're not anti-medical, anti-doctor at all. We work in conjunction mm-hmm. with them. So they might need that. Or it may be nothing serious going on, and then, hey, it's kicked back to you. And you do the work of FDN, and you do the best you can to get that person strong again. So all those things we just covered there go through my mind if I saw a cortisol of 7, all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, automatic like this. You got to think through all of these different processes, and that will come very, very quickly. If you know your client well, again, going back to those end-day forms, who is this person, if you know your client well, as soon as you see that, just really quickly, this little chain of all these little thoughts. I can just almost feel them in my head go these different directions, and quickly you'll come down to this almost like a decision tree, you know. Yes, no, which way do you go here? What's the best for this person? And I think it's up to us to express that to the client during the call or during their R&R. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm seeing here. And now get their feedback. Get their feel for things. It's that partnership, I feel like. It's a team effort. Even though you're sort of leading things in a lot of ways, looking to you as the expert in things. I have people that say that, well, you're the expert, but here's what I think is going to help. You're the expert. I said, well, I might know some things as far as the training goes, have some experience, but you are the expert in your own body. And so mm-hmm. I need you as the expert of your body and me, the, quote, FTN expert. We come together, and that's where we find the best solutions.
Totally. That was very well put. Love that.
You too. Good job. So yeah, so that's a good question. I'm glad that one. I think that was a trainee question there, off the board there. All right, good one. First one down. And again, if you guys are on the line right now, it's a good time to ask a question. Hit 1 on the keypad. We'll bring you on. If you want to call in, 347-637-1378 is that number. All right, we'll move along here to another one. Well, since we're talking about hormones, let's see if we can knock out some of these hormone questions. Quite a few here we've had. I get this one very often. Brendan, I think you do too. So what day of the cycle, quote, cycle, would you recommend for doing a 205 to someone with these characteristics? A female, had a hysterectomy 3 years ago, but started bleeding every month a year ago. She recently found a piece of her cervix was not extracted. So technically, she doesn't have a period, but is bleeding every single month. So when would you recommend that person to take a 205 and take a look at what's going on there? I'll say one point, and I'll kick it to you, Brendan. I would say, since this is post-surgery here, we have the cervix thing going on, I'd say let's get all the plumbing, everything all working right here. So maybe I'd say let's go to the doctor and make sure everything's kosher there and that we don't need any extra things coming up. Like I wouldn't want to run a 205 and then that person have surgery in 2 weeks and everything's all different now. So just thinking about the client and the money they're investing and the information you're getting, post-surgery, could something be different? It's possible, right? A lot of things could shift around and change, and a lot of new factors are introduced into the body. So if that's what's going on with that one, I don't know all the details, but I would just make sure that this has been, you know, dealt with, that she's not going to have to go back into surgery to deal with that. That's the first thing I would think about.
So the client had part of their cervix removed, and we're trying to figure out when to test their hormones because they bleed every month.
Well,
but they
hysterectomy 3 years ago, but has been bleeding every single month, every month a year ago. So technically, she doesn't have a period, but she's bleeding every month. I'm guessing this is almost really like spotting, like she's bleeding most of the month. There's like a little stream there. That's what I think I'm hearing here with the question.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, you know, like that's where it gets, you know, a little bit tricky, and we always have to think about, like, okay, that whatever test we're running, you know, what does that test really measure, and what's going on with that person's body? Because yeah, surgery just always changes things, and we don't even really have the research or evidence to fully understand, you know, the implications of, you know, like cutting gallbladders out as an easy example. I mean, very, very common procedure, unfortunately. But we don't really have any data of the long-term effects of what happens when we cut out, you know, part of their body in these different. So like with hysterectomy, you know, we need to know, was it a full hysterectomy? Was it just the uterus? Was it also the ovaries? Do they have one ovary? You know, because there's literally any combination of, and it's very individualized depending on why they, you know, went into the surgery anyway. So you kind of have to get those details from the client and sort of think critically through that, because, like, even if they only have one ovary, that's a very different result than they have two, or they just got the uterus, or all the above was taken out. But also some of that stuff kind of gets into the medical side of things that I don't know how much we really need to concern ourselves with as FDNs, but it's more, you know, nonetheless. And that's kind of, at the end of the day, sometimes it almost gets overly complicated. It's just like, you know what, let's run the test, get some objective data. You know, some objective data is always going to be better than none. And sometimes we can kind of drive ourselves crazy trying to run the test at like the perfect time, especially with hormone testing. And it's like, eh, you know, but that's also where maybe like the Dutch, you know, Dutch cycle mapping test is kind of fun. So that way it's not as dependent on that single day that you ran it and that single snapshot in time, but rather you're getting, you know, hormonal data over the course of a month. And that would be interesting to see, because I'm thinking with this person, depending on whether they have ovaries or not, or one or whatever. But then, you know, that surgery, how much that is that affecting their hormonal, you know, system, or are the adrenals kind of kicking in overdrive to make up for the lack of ovaries or whatever? So anyways, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, and these are the types of thoughts that literally you have to process through with every individual case, because no two cases are the same, but that might be an option to kind of consider there.
True. Yeah. I think a lot of situations like this, as long as you're not going to contaminate the sample with blood or something, if you're, you know, depending on what fluid you're testing there, then yeah, I think kind of like Reed says, just take the test and, like you're saying, interpret accordingly, and you have to do the best that you can. You know, it's not going to be black and white all the time, and most of the time it won't be. So
yeah,
that's good. All right, hey, we got a hand raised here, so let's prioritize callers first. So this is 831 area code. 831, what's your name?
Hi, guys. It's Jenny Miller.
Hey.
Well, there's our regular, Jenny. Hello.
Hey, yeah, I'm a regular, trying to get in on everything that you guys are offering. But my question is, I graduated 5 years ago, and just looking back through the course, I'm thinking I might want to review some of the core fundamentals of FDN and looking through all the modules. I'm not quite sure how much has changed. I'm sure there's a lot of changes and updates. Mm. But anywhere that you would think I should kind of start with?
Yeah, we did, because we did the big, like, version 1.5 update, like, a year ago.
Okay.
And that was a pretty healthy facelift. I think 1.5 is kind of the perfect name for it, because it really was, like, a significant upgrade without being, like, a total overhaul.
Uh-huh.
And I know I didn't go through every single module of the updated course, but I know that there is a pretty robust section right in the beginning that kind of, you know, used like some cool thyroid science as an example of metabolic chaos. And then I know the gut section, like the GI pathogen section of the course, was dramatically updated, where now we don't just teach the 401H in the level one course, but also the GI map, like addendum that Whitney did. So those are the two major areas that I know got a big facelift. And I want to say that there was kind of some extra business building related content at the end of the course in the business building section. And that's about as much as I know at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done anything with GI map, so I'll look at that for sure.
Yeah, that's also...
Yeah, I think it's some of the big things.
Yeah, the GI map thing too, that's also in the medical director program under the test menu. If you click on GI map and go to the GI map page, there's a link to mm-hmm. the training that Whitney did on the GI map. So if you really just wanted to dig into GI map education, like that's an amazing place to start, is right in the medical director program page.
Okay, and the video is right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's the same as what they put into the 1.5 update, I think, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Cool.
That sounds good. I will start there. Yeah, because I don't want to do the whole course over, but I just want to know anything, you know, more up to date.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Always good to refresh yourself. You know, the fundamentals, principles don't change, which, again, is the great thing. So still operate and think the same way. But, you know, sometimes labs shift ranges a little bit, or new labs come about, or just everything needs a little bit of a polish and a fresh coat of paint. And even mm-hmm. Reed, at his stage in the game, how he communicates concepts and talks about things, that gets refined and polished and shifted over time,
mm-hmm.
too. So we're all sort of in that continual improvement process.
Yeah, and there's new perspectives at looking at things. It seems like, and I know, Brendan, you talk about this, where we're not trying to kill all the pathogens so much. So, you know, right off the bat, focus on that and know that sometimes there's a balance and some of them are more just commensal, and that we don't have to
mm-hmm.
kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
So those, those kind of concepts are changing.
Yeah,
okay.
Or
well,
even like the pregnenolones, like when I went through the course, you know, we still used the pregnenolone steel model, and then, obviously
adrenal
updated that.
Adrenal model.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Sure,
yeah.
That's definitely a new evolution thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a good one.
Cool. All right, well, thanks. Very helpful. You guys are doing great. I love your shows. Love them, love them.
Oh, well, we love you, so there.
Thank you. Well, I'll see you in a couple of months, San Diego.
Sounds
Sweet.
Good. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Can't wait. Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you. Good stuff. Yeah, I like it. I remember Jen from years back, or 5 years ago. Good times. All right. Let's see, guys. We're getting down sub 12 minutes here on the call, so definitely time for questions would be now. If you have something you want to say or ask, again, 347-637-1378. Again, one on the keypad there. Anybody that's on the line live listening, which, again, a ton of you guys today. How cool. All right. Since no takers, I will look at another hormone question here. We'll go this direction. Oh, no, we've got one. Hold on.
Sweet.
We got one on the line. Here we go, 703. All right, hey, 703 area code. What's your name?
Hi, it's Susan Boyd, and I'm
Susan.
A newbie who's been trying to be a new. I've been trying to get through the program for a long time, but just been dealing with a lot of crud, you know how life goes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
anyway,
sure.
Joy's been awesome with me, and so I'm all psyched to get going. But one of the things I've learned along the way is I'm just trying to get myself fit enough to even do FDN, is becoming more aware of breathing. And I was just curious, since I haven't gotten to that part of the foundational pieces, you know, of dress, if breathing, of nasal breathing versus mouth breathing has been addressed, where nasal breathing is preferred, you know, it's like Buteyko breathing is one technique that's out there, but it actually helps you oxygenate better. And so, you know, oxygen's a pretty foundational piece. So I've discovered, I've actually been working on trying to be better at nasal breathing, and even started taping my mouth at night, you know, to try and prove it. I have been seeing some improvements. And I was just curious if, since that can be one of those hidden stressors, if someone's just doing mouth breathing all the time, they're not oxygenating as well. You don't get the benefits of the nitrous oxide that your nasal cavity will. Anyway, it's pretty cool stuff. And it helps push the oxygen into your cells better because it helps build up your carbon dioxide. But anyway, I'm just curious because that could be one of those things when you're kind of stymied that you might start observing, hey, are people mouth breathers or are they nasal breathers? But something, I mean, I realize there's a lot in the course as it is. But anyway, it's just a piece it's helping me move along on just trying to get my brain to work better. So, and oxygen's always good for the brain.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you get me thinking about my breathing now, right now.
Yeah.
So when you're talking, of course, then you're having to do mouth breathing, or when you're eating. But when you're normally, unless you're doing really strenuous exercise or you really can be doing nasal breathing pretty much all the rest of the time, which is, anyway, it's been kind of eye-opener.
Yeah.
And one of the doctors I've worked with, she's a DO, and she does some of the cool traditional osteopathic stuff. She thinks this is one of the areas that's getting kind of missed in the functional medicine realm, that in terms of it being such a foundational piece. So anyway, just something you might just sort of start to observe a little, when you're talking to clients. But anyway, I just wanted to share it and just was curious if you guys had come across that yet yourselves.
Yeah, first off, thanks for bringing that up and offering your insight and your experience. I'm glad it's helping you. And I totally agree. I think breathing and breathing exercises and techniques and strategies and it does. It gets overlooked all the time, and it's so fundamental. I just can't say I can think of anything in the FDN course that speaks to that off the top of my head. But, you know, I really look at that as a component of the big picture, the big umbrella that is our dress program with, that's a form of stress reduction right there, is doing some good breathing exercises. And, you know, we talk about meditation a lot. I don't know that we necessarily talk about different forms of breathing exercises. However, I mean, we do have a advanced course on Qigong that we don't really ever talk about that much. But, you know, and I haven't taken it. It's the only one I haven't done. But, you know, there is a course on Qigong, which I believe is pretty breathing focus, and there's tons of literature out there about how even just different types of breathing have implications on cytokine signaling and immunological kind of modulation and stuff. So the point being, absolutely, is breathing is key. So definitely, I think that should be kind of a part of every dress program. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Okay. I know there's a lot of other things to cover too, but anyway, it's fine. And I mean, and we're all learning anyway, and there's more, it's just amazing, right? You really have to be willing to be a lifelong learner in this stuff.
Oh, totally.
I think it definitely goes on your checklist there as far as probably under stress reduction, I would say. Maybe even exercise too, and sleep. I guess it affects everything, doesn't it? But
yeah,
I think, yeah, it needs to go under your checklist of like, hey, is this, have I asked about this, or is this person aware of this aspect or one or another?
Right. Okay, well, thanks, though. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all that you guys do, and that you just, you're always so consistent and there for us even when we aren't always there. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, can't wait to see you on the graduate side.
Yes,
indeed.
Me too.
Indeed. All right. Thanks, Susan.
Okay, thanks.
Awesome. Good point, yeah. Just a couple things else I was going to say about that. I think that, you know, with anxiety and depression being part of my challenges when I was first getting into this, you know, learning how to belly breathe and use your breath to sort of control your nervous system a little bit and calm down a little bit, super powerful tool. I think if we're under stress, we have these shorter breaths, right? So that's maybe not nasal breathing, but just learning how to breathe again. Babies tend to do it pretty well because they're not under a whole lot of stress usually. So watching them, and also just think about, why do we breathe sometimes through the mouth and not through the nose? It comes down to those mucous membranes there, which we do a good job teaching how to heal those mucous membranes, right? So with the sinus area, with food sensitivities, with all those things. So usually it's all kind of part and parcel. But, good point to bring that up. That's great, Susan. Thanks a lot. All right. Hey, we've got a couple. Wait, we've got more time. We've got a few more hands raised. I'm going to get 319 here. I think this one might have came in next. So 319, area code.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Megan.
Hi, Megan.
I just have a random question about secretory IgA. I just got GI MAP results, and I actually have a medical director consult because I don't know how to read it all myself, being new. But secretory IgA, if it is low, is it generally like just low and it takes a long time to build, or is that something that can change dramatically over a few days? I mean, I know it's part of your immune response, and I have a lot of allergies, and they're really crazy right now. So I'm just wondering, does that dramatically change day to day, or is it, if it's low, it's just low?
Is that a
weird question? I don't know.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. I'll say real quick, I don't think you're going to have like huge shifts and changes. I don't think you're going to shift, 300 points in a day. I don't think that the Sig A they're measuring there would make that big of a shift. But could it fluctuate some day to day? Yeah, I think so. It could. But not hugely.
I think, definitely you could run 7 GI MAPs 7 days in a row and have 7 different Sig A readings. But, if it's, like, really pretty darn low, 200, 300, that kind of thing, that's probably just straight up, low immune function and kind of just immune exhaustion, if you will. As Brandon said, I don't think you're going to see huge shifts overnight. I mean, certainly, if you pick up like an infection overnight, like a norovirus or adenovirus or, food poisoning, whatever, the immune system might try to put up a fight and you might see like a little bit of a spike, but I think it's going to be proportionate to the status of overall immune function, which is still probably going to be low. So that's where when you see some of those more like transient infections like adenovirus and you see like a proportionately high spike, it's like, oh, well, it's trying, but it's just, the immune system kind of on its last leg, so to speak. So always correlate with what different pathogens might be coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think concerned with low secretory IgA?
I'm asking,
this is myself personally. These are my results.
Yeah. Yeah. Should you be, I think it's all in context there, but I've seen some tremendously low Sig A's over time. And so, it's something that, one of the goals there will be to help your body to have a more proper, I will say proper, and like Brendan's saying there, in proportion to what you have going on, proper immune response. And so I think it's one of your starting points, like having low cortisol. Okay, we want to see that response maybe be a little stronger, a little better. So I think it's a starting point. And you know, whoever you have the medical director consult with, they'll help with that. And we'll put it all pieces together for you. So that'll be great when you get to that point. But no, don't have a good weekend. Relax. Don't stress at all. You know, do some nasal breathing. Chill out. Don't worry about that. You know, stress hurts the immune system. It lowers SIG-A. So don't stress about it at all. Whenever you got your session there coming up, we'll sort it all out. But no, don't. I would say, you know, don't be overly concerned right now.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome, Megan. All right. Well, hey, that's the show for today. Cool. Guys, thanks for calling in. Callers, good questions there. And then graduates, guys, six amazing folks there. Good job. And, hey, well, I think we'll do it again next week. So, guys, thanks again for tuning in. And we'll sign off for now. Have a good weekend, guys.
See you, guys.